Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Movie Addict Headquarters with your host, Betty Jo Tucker, author of Confessions of a Movie Addict, right here at www.blogtalkradio.com.
Hi, movie fans. This is Nikki Starr. Thank you for tuning in to our Oscar Predictions show. We want to give a big shout-out to Betty Jo, who couldn't be with us today, but is certainly here in spirit, cheering us on from home. We are so lucky to have film critics Jeff Roberts and Max Bates with us because they both have a deep interest in the Oscars, and they really know their movie stuff. Jeff is a veteran of numerous Canadian and American radio and TV programs, where he gives detailed perspective on the Academy Awards. And Mac has written freelance articles for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and served as a staff blogger for Milwaukee Magazine's official film blog. So let's get this show on the road right now, starting with Jeff. Welcome to Movie Addict Headquarters, Jeff. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Nikki. It's great to be doing the show with you and Mac again.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure to have you with us, Jeff. And the same goes for Mac Bates. Mac, thank you for agreeing to be one of our guests again today. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great, and thrilled to be back. I had to sit out last year due to unforeseen circumstances, but I'm thrilled to be taking part with the prediction show this year with you and Jeff, and thrilled that it's happening.
Me too. I am too. And so is Betty Jo. She wanted me to let you guys know that she is super grateful that we're doing this. All right, so we are going to start this show off with talking about the Best Actor nominee, all right? So here are the five actors in contention: Austin Butler in Elvis, Colin Farrell in The Banshees of Inisherin, Brendan Fraser in The Whale, Paul Mescal in After Sun, Bill Nighy in Living. Which Best Actor nominee would you like to see win? And which do you think will win, Mac?
This is one of those categories where it's kind of like an embarrassment of riches. You know, any of these men in any, competitive year would be the standout. So the fact that they're all nominated this year against, one another, it's one of those things where it's almost like trying to choose your favorite child. and each of them probably with the couple of exceptions have won a lot of the precursor awards like the Golden Globe. I know both Colin and Austin won in their respective categories, and I know they've won a series of film critic awards, particularly Brendan Fraser for his work in The Whale. If I had to take a wild guess, the one I think will win will probably be Brendan Fraser for The Whale, for the simple fact that he has the most compelling story of the nominees, and he's been, gone for quite a while now in terms of, people, he hasn't really been out there working like he was during his 90s and early 2000s heyday. And it's, just this incredible comeback story where he kind of just came out of left field and like, oh, yeah, Brendan Fraser. I grew up watching him in, movies like Airheads and With Honors, and he was so great opposite Sir Ian McKellen and Lynn Redgrave in Gods and Monsters and in George of the Jungle and so on and so forth. But I think he's got the inside track to take it this year, and plus the performance is pretty phenomenal considering everything that the film calls upon him to do, and it's a heartbreaking movie in certain ways, and I think the fact that he did underwent such an immersive transformation to play the character that he plays in the film, I think that is also going to lend pretty well to him taking it. Now, who do I think should win? Of the nominated performances, I would love to see Bill Nighy win, But I think his nomination is pretty much award enough in a lot of people's eyes, which is unfortunate because he's so phenomenal in that film. But I think that the person who should win, just based on how immersive what he had to do ended up becoming, even though I have some problems with the movie itself, I think Austin Butler is probably going to end up taking it for Elvis because he really, you know, kind of went above and beyond with his performance in that particular film. Like I said, the film itself is kind of a hot mess, but he's so spectacular. And when I was looking at it, I actually, you know, forgot that that was an actor playing Elvis. There were glimpses of him in that movie that I was just completely transported. I thought I was watching the actual Elvis. So I would love for either one of those two men to win, but I think Austin's probably got the inside track. But I would definitely keep an eye on Brendan Fraser for the whale.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. So are you in agreement with Mac, Jeff?
I'm for Brendan Fraser. His performance in The Whale is heartbreaking and one that has stuck with me ever since first seeing it last December. His character Charlie is morbidly obese and inching ever closer to becoming 1,000 pounds and is confined to his home requiring constant care from a nurse. Charlie is an English professor who makes his real appearance allows for his real appearance to be seen online when he's teaching his students. He has a teenage daughter named Allie who absolutely hates him and doesn't understand how he could possibly walk out on her and have nothing to do with her and her mother for decades when he walked out when she was 8 years old. As she reenters through into his life, and this film is all about redemption. And I think it's a real career changer for Fraser. And a complete 180 from the often half-baked comedies that he's known for, in addition to The Mummy and sequels.
That's who you think will win, and that's who you want to win, correct?
That's who I would want to win. I mean, Austin Butler is great in Elvis, but that movie is like Matt said, definitely a mess. It's through Colonel Parker's eyes, who's played by Tom Hanks, and it's more or less Colonel Parker's story and not so much Elvis's story. I'm actually surprised that it was nominated for Best Picture, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, I agree with him on that one. Yeah, that nomination did come as a surprise.
All right, well, let's move on to Best Actress nominees, all right? So the nominees are Cate Blanchett in Tar, Ana de Armas in Blonde, Andrea Riseborough in To Leslie, Michelle Williams in The Fablemans, Michelle Yao in Everything, Everywhere, All at Once. So, Jeff, which of these women will win, and which one do you think should win, if you have a different answer for both?
Cate Blanchett. Cate Blanchett delivers a gripping performance as Lydia Tarr. She's a fictional character that is the first female conductor at the Berlin Philharmonic. She is an extremely vindictive individual, and she has a student named Krista, who she had some sort of a relationship with, and now is going against her. She's told everybody that she's mentally unstable, and it comes to a head where she has to cover up emails that she's received from her after this person commits suicide. And she faces intense scrutiny and accusations that could later derail her career. I should point out that the Best Actress category is one of the most interesting this year in controversial categories. The controversy exists because Andrea Riseborough was nominated for her role in To Leslie, where she portrays a former lottery winner who loses it all and struggles with alcoholism and a son who wants nothing to do with her, and she's given a second chance by the manager of a motel. Now, this was an independent film with absolutely no buzz behind it that few people saw. The director of the film has powerful connections in the industry and had actors, according to Time magazine, including Susan Sarandon, Jane Fonda, Kate Winslet, and others, take to social media to try and gain her the nomination, which she got. And there was a big stink about it, and people wanted the Academy to rescind the nomination, but of course they didn't, and it still stands.
That's interesting. All right, Mac, what's your take on this category? Who will win and who do you think should win?
I think who will win would be Michelle Yeoh for Everything Everywhere All at Once. It's nominated for 11 Academy Awards overall, including Best Picture, Best Director, Best Original Screenplay. There are four actors from the film represented in the acting categories. Michelle Yeoh, obviously, for Best Actress. Ki-Hoo Kwan for Best Supporting Actor. Jamie Lee Curtis and Stephanie Soo for Supporting Actress. And I really do think that based on the recent pretty much clean sweep they have had of the Guild Awards, with the notable exception of the Writers Guild, which hasn't presented their awards yet. I think they're presenting them tonight or tomorrow. It seems like the momentum is fully behind A24's highest grossing movie to date. That's the studio that released the film. Also, Michelle Yeoh has been in the industry now for 40 years. Ki-Hoo Kwan recently pointed out that he and her both started their careers, professional careers, acting careers in 1984. And I think she has just got the momentum squarely behind her at this point. I think Kate Blanchett, even though she swept most of the precursor awards in terms of critics' awards, and I know she won the Golden Globe as and some other in the BAFTA, and I think the Australian Academy Award, the AACTA, among others. I think it's kind of I think the general buzz is, you know, as brilliant as she is in that film, it's kind of like she kind of treaded familiar ground again, because she played a woman undone in Blue Jasmine about 10 years ago and won, you know, pretty much everything for that performance, and deservedly so, because she was brilliant in it. She's brilliant in Tar as well. But I think some people are kind of thinking that, you know, we need to kind of spread the wealth around a little bit. And if she were to win, it would be her third Academy Award in, I think, less than 20 years. And, you know, some people like Meryl Streep, it took her, what, like 40 to achieve that aim. So I'm thinking some people are probably of the mindset that, you know, despite the brilliance of the work and, you know, the commitment that she had to the material and you know, and everything that she put forth, that they want to spread the love around. And the best, I think, option in this category would be Michelle Yeoh, because she's done exemplary work over the years. She has never been nominated until now. This is like Blanchett's, like, seventh or eighth nomination. This is Michelle Yeoh's first. So I have no doubt that Blanchett will be back. Michelle Yeoh, there's a question mark over that because, you know, Hollywood is not really known for nurturing, much less creating material and projects for people of color, particularly women of color. So I think that's going to play a big part in people's final decision making. And I know the Academy Awards is supposed to be a merit-based institution, but we all know that they have oftentimes given people career achievement awards, makeup Oscars, so on and so forth. And somebody who instantly comes to mind in that vein is Judi Dench, who was nominated for her brilliant performance in Mrs. Brown in 1997 in the lead actress category. It lost, you know, much to a lot of people's chagrin. And then she was nominated for a 8 or 9 minute performance in Shakespeare in Love in the supporting actress category the next year. A lot of people, myself included, have reasoned that that was a makeup Oscar for them not giving it to her rightfully for Mrs. Brown. So I think that Michelle Yeoh will win and certainly deserves to, but I think Kate Blanchett deserves the win, but she probably is going to have to wait for that third Oscar.
Okay. Oh, I love both your takes. All right. Let's go now to Best Supporting Actor, and here are the nominees. Brendan Gleeson in The Banshees of Inisherin, Brian Tyree Henry in Causeway, Jed Hirsch in The Fabelmans, Barry Keoghan in The Banshees of Inisherin, and Ki-Hoo Kwan in Everything, Everywhere, All at Once. All right, you're up, Mac. What is your take on the Best Supporting Actor category?
Ki-Hoo Kwan.
Yay!
Ki-Hoo Kwan is going to win this Oscar, and rightfully so. Mm-hmm. This man, talk about comeback stories. My gosh. He made his film acting debut in Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom back in 1984. He was handpicked by that film's director, Steven Spielberg, who also handpicked him to play Data a year later in The Goonies, which was directed by the late, great Richard Donner, who was known for the Lethal Weapon film franchise. Steven Spielberg was an executive producer on The Goonies. And, like, I can't really think of any child actor who had a more auspicious, you know, 1-2 debut in terms of, you know, one blockbuster after another. And then he largely faded away because the opportunities for Asian actors, particularly at that time in the late 80s and early 90s, just was not there, you know. And he went behind the scenes and learned. He went to film school, did a number of projects behind the scenes of different film and TV projects, both here in the United States as well as abroad. And then seeing Michelle Yeoh, Everything Everywhere All at Once co-star, and Crazy Rich Asians kind of lit the fuse again for him in order to try to pursue acting after a 20 plus year hiatus. And you know, it's just a remarkable comeback story. The man should have been working consistently this entire time. His performance is brilliant. You know, he's like the beating heart of that film. And I couldn't imagine it without him. And I was so thrilled when I saw the movie because I did not know he was in it before I saw it. I saw the film not even realizing he was in it. And I was just like, oh, that's, you know, Short Down, that's Data. And so I'm rooting for him. It's purely emotional at this point. I'm just emotionally invested in seeing this guy have the comeback of a lifetime. I know the performances in the category, particularly Barry Keoghan's in The Banshees of Inisherin, is you know, also a hallmark of a talent to watch. And, you know, in another year, he might have had a legitimate chance, and he still might because he won the BAFTA. But, you know, just from an emotional standpoint, from a performance standpoint, from a nostalgia standpoint, because I grew up watching Ke Huy Quan in those two films I just mentioned, Temple of Doom and The Goonies, I would have to cast my vote for him. And he richly deserves it, so I think he will win. I think he should win. And, dear God, let these people have him stay in film for as long as he wants and have all sorts of great opportunities.
I agree. All right, Jeff, what do you think will happen in this category, and what would you like to see happen?
Ke Huy Quan, and definitely he deserves to win. One of the interesting stories about him is that he actually began his career on a whim when his brother was auditioning for Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. And he was constantly trying to coach his brother from the sidelines during his audition. Spielberg and the producers noticed this, and they gave him a chance to read for the part, of which he ended up getting. And as Max said, he's been out of the industry almost completely for, 25 years. And like you said, when Crazy Rich Asians debuted to critical and box office acclaim, that re-sparked Quan's interest in acting again. And when he learned that Everything Everywhere All at Once was being developed, he read for the role of Weiman Wang, and he left the audition feeling completely confident that the role fit him like a glove. At first, he was tremendously discouraged because it took several months before he heard back and was ultimately given the part. He definitely deserves to win for his performance.
Yeah, I am like Mac, growing up with him and invested in him, so I am rooting for him as well. All right, so let's go to supporting actress. The nominees are Angela Bassett in Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, Hong Chow in The Whale, Carrie Condon in The Banshees of Inisherin, Jamie Lee Curtis in Everything, Everywhere, All at Once, and Stephanie Hsu in Everything, Everywhere, All at Once. All right, Jeff, you have a prediction and a preference in this category.
Angela Bassett, and she's my preferred person to win the Oscar. Now, one of the things that struck me about Angela Bassett was how she processes grief, especially surrounding the death of Chadwick Boseman, who portrayed King T'Challa in the first Black Panther film. I recently read an interview that she did with the Hollywood Reporter's Esther Zuckerman, where she recounted that her drama teacher, Lloyd Richards, told her early on to use pain and anguish to craft a performance. in a difficult circumstance where she had actually broken up with a cast member and had to do an intimate scene with them. He told her to use it and put all of her pain and anguish into building her character. Now, it's a mantra that she has never forgotten, and she uses it to terrific effect here.
Mm. All right, so, Mac, how about you? I have a hunch I might know the answer to this.
You think?
I will
just reiterate what I said previously about Ke Huy Quan. Angela Bassett. For me, it's, you know, I have been a unabashed fan for 30 years now. I make zero apologies for it. She is one of my all-time favorites. I absolutely adore her. Again, like with the lead actor category, this is an embarrassment of riches. Any of these women in any given year would be the front runner. I think Stephanie Hsu, the nomination is her reward because she was like the kind of unofficial MVP of Everything Everywhere All at Once. I thought, you know, again, like much like Barry Keoghan from The Banshees of Inisherin Sheeran. She is the hallmark of somebody who is a talent to watch. That the performance that she gives in EEAOU, whatever. Yeah, that movie, Everywhere.
EEAOU.
Thank you. EEAO. Okay. Yeah.
A-A.
You know. So she's definitely a talent to watch. Yeah. Sorry, I got tripped up over a little bit, but I'm excited to see what she does next. I think Kerry Condon has been doing great work quietly for a while now, and the nomination is richly deserved because she was great in The Banshees of Inisherin. And I think that she has a chance. I think she would be a potential spoiler here. But, again, I think the nomination will pretty much be, you know, it in terms of – but I think we'll definitely see her back in the mix again, same thing with Stephanie. Jamie Lee Curtis has been a veteran of Hollywood now for over 40 years. It's insane that she has just now gotten her first Oscar nomination. The woman should be at Oscar nomination 4, 5, or 6 by this point. You know, she could have been nominated for any number of projects that she's been a part of. True Lies instantly comes to mind. Trading Places would have been, an inspired call, as well as Freaky Friday, which I thought, you know, she took this film that people had no expectations of, and just completely elevated it to a place where her work is just consistently good. Even if the movie doesn't live up to her, she always, you know, rises to the occasion. And Angela, she also should have had, you know, she should be on nomination 4, 5, or 6 by now as well. And the fact that it took her 29 years is kind of, you know, insane when you think about it. But that performance that she gives in the movie, she laid the groundwork for it in the first Black Panther film. It's you know, when you think of people who play royalty on screen, you know, that takes a great deal of gravitas, that takes a great deal of skill, that takes a great deal of charisma. Because I've seen people play royalty who didn't really register, and I've seen other people who have not only registered, but, you know, you remember just how brilliant they were. People like a Helen Mirren, people like a Judi Dench, people like a Sir Ian McKellen, people like a Sir Patrick Stewart, and on and on and on. And they're normally British actors. And here's an instance where here is a Black woman in her 60s playing an African queen. When have you ever seen that in a Hollywood movie before? Ever. So just from that perspective alone, and the fact that she was so, you know, regal and brilliant and just really anchored this Marvel action film in this beautiful, organic, just mesmerizing way, you know, she's got my vote across the board, and I sincerely hope that she gets it, because she definitely deserves it for this performance and you know, for so my vote would go for Angela. And if she wins, she'll be the first Black woman in her age bracket to have won an Academy Award, to the best of my knowledge. I think everyone else who's won has been in their 20s, 30s, and 40s, so she'll be the first 60-plus-year-old Black woman. And she certainly doesn't look it, but, you know, she'll achieve history in that regard, as well as having, you know, one for playing a royal character in a cinematic Marvel film. So it's a comic book adaptation.
Well, I'm certainly rooting for her as well. All right, so let's go to my favorite nominee, or this is my favorite category, which is Best Picture. So these are the nominees: All Quiet on the Western Front, Avatar, The Way of the Water, The Banshees of Inisherin, Elvis, Everything Everywhere All at Once, The Fablemans, Tar, Top Gun Maverick, Triangle of Sadness, and Women Talking. So we're going to start with Matt. All right, so why don't you get us started by sharing your predictions about which movie will win Best Picture this year and which movie you would like to see win?
Ooh, now, again, this is an interesting list. There are some movies that definitely deserve to be here. There are a couple that are kind of head-scratchers in why they're exactly here. And there are some pretty interesting choices where you weren't expecting them necessarily to register, but they did, and it's a good sight to see. As for the movie that I think should win, I am going to go with Everything Everywhere All at Once. I keep inverting those words. Everything Everywhere All at Once, I believe, has the momentum behind it, is a game changer in terms of genre, in terms of representation. It's just one of those films that literally came out of nowhere. It debuted at the South by Southwest Film Festival in March or April of last year, and took that festival by storm, and then came out and kind of had a quiet release, but then it just kept gaining word of mouth, and people were just raving about it, and it ended up subsequently becoming A24's highest grossing movie to date. And everything about that film is just registering with people in a way that I haven't seen in quite a while. And it seems like even people who weren't necessarily blown away by it, even they had to give it props in terms of visuals, in terms of performances, in terms of genre bending and just execution, even if they, were left, unimpressed by the entire product as a whole. But there's still something to be still something to be admired about it. So I think that will win. Now, what do I think should win? From a personal standpoint, I think Steven Spielberg's The Fablemans is the movie that I had the closest connection to, and it's about his love of cinema. And I share, a similar love of cinema. So that movie spoke to me in a way that none of the other ones really did, and most of them are exceptional films. There, like I said, there are a couple of questionable choices in the mix, and we mentioned one earlier. But I think The Fablemans just is a coming of age story, as a cinematic love letter to a film, as a childhood remembrance. It's the perfect film, and I think of the films nominated, it's probably the safest choice. But in terms of artistic integrity and artistic expression, it's the one that I just really was surprised by in terms of just how moved I was by it and how I was able to relate to a person who, conventional wisdom wouldn't necessarily have me relating to. But we had this mutual love and appreciation for cinema, and that crosses geographic boundaries, mindsets, race, religion, you name it. So I think Everywhere, Everything All at Once will win, but my choice for which film should win would be The Fablemans. But I would be happy if either film took it. But also definitely keep an eye out for Top Gun Maverick. That's a controversial sort of, choice, because it really wasn't nominated for all that many other awards, other than technical stuff. But it was the highest grossing film of last year. A lot of people liked it. I was pleasantly surprised by it because I thought they waited way too long to make a sequel to the original film from 1986. And I'm thinking, how is this going to be? This is either going to be really, really good or really, really bad. And it's really, really good. And say what you will about Tom Cruise and kind of his, controversial viewpoints on certain things. The man knows how to make really good movies, and when they click, they really click. And I think it's definitely something to keep in mind as a possible spoiler that Top Gun Maverick could possibly kind of come, out of left field and take it. But If I'm putting, you know, put my best down everywhere, everything all at once, and for should win, and I mean will win rather, and the Fableman should win.
All right. So, do you agree with Mac, Jeff?
Picking everything, everywhere, all at once has garnered the most Oscar nominations this year, with 11 in total, and has long been considered the front runner. And it recently won the Screen Actors Guild Awards for Best Cast in a Motion Picture. Michelle Yeoh and Jamie Lee Curtis and Ki Wei Kwan won their performances at the Screen Actors Guild Awards, and that's usually a precursor of how the Academy members are actually going to be casting their votes in those categories and for Best Picture. Everything Everywhere All at Once has racked up a grand total of 321 wins out of 369 nominations in other awards ceremonies this year.
Wow.
It would be quite an upset if another film wound up winning for Best Picture. If I had my choice, I would definitely pick The Fablemans for the same reasons that Mac just outlined.
And, you know, the interesting thing about the stats you just gave for Everything Everywhere All at Once, nobody saw this coming. Absolutely nobody saw that coming, that this little movie that they filmed in 2020, right before COVID hit our shores and just shut everything down in Simi Valley, of all places. You would have never thought that this, you know, genre-bending sci-fi film with a largely Asian cast would really register the way it has.
So I'll tell you this. I saw the movie about I cannot even explain the impact it had on me. Yep. I don't really have words for it. All I know is that it blew me away. I recommended it to everybody. I can't even explain it to them to get them to watch it, but beg them to watch it. And out of the 10 people that I've gotten to watch it, it's been about 50-50, where 50% everybody said it was fine. 50% of the people were like me, that were like, oh my God, it was life-changing. And then 50% were, it was good. You know what I mean? And so I can't even explain it. Like my brain thinks like it was like that movie. Like that's how my brain thinks. And so for me, it was just amazing. It was amazing. So
you know, that movie is really about the power of positivity. Think about it.
Yeah.
A lot of movies are very negative. A lot of people have, you know, they kind of market in negativity. And here's a movie that is about the power of what it means to be a positive-minded, a positive, forwarding person. Like, you know, not only is it about positivity, it's about passing it forward. Like, you know, just think about that for a minute. You really don't see that often in film, much less TV. It's all about, you know, well, not all about, but it's primarily about the opposite end of that spectrum, which, you know, we all experience a little too much from time to time. But this, here's a movie that was like a beacon, like, you know, it's good to be okay. It's good to be good. It's good to be nice. You know, good to be, you know, a decent human being, you know.
Yeah, it was great. I loved it. All right, so we're going to finish up this part of it with the best directors now, okay? And so we're limited to 5 nominees, which are The Banshees of Ina Sheeran, Martin McDonagh, Everything Everywhere All at Once, Daniel Kwan and Daniel Scheinert, The Fablemans, Steven Spielberg, Tar, Todd Field, and Triangle of Sadness by Ruben Östlund. So which director nominee would you like to see win, and which do you predict to win, Jeff?
Steven Spielberg for The Fablemans. It's a semi-autobiographical film, like we mentioned earlier, and it's one that Steven Spielberg has wanted to tell on film since he was 17 years old. In his recent Golden Globes acceptance speech, he stated that he's been hiding from this story and trying to tell it for decades and didn't have the courage to tell it up to now. He put a lot of obstacles in front of the story and states that he had told bits and pieces of it in films like E.T. and Close Encounters of the Third Kind. It wasn't until he was working on Munich with Tony Kushner that he thought of telling it. Kushner insisted that Spielberg tell him all the stories that he had heard about the director. And it wasn't until 2020 that Spielberg finally sat down and began to write the story after not knowing during the pandemic when and if artists would ever get to tell stories again. The film is absolutely brilliant and his love letter to filmmaking. It's mind-boggling to me that Gabriel LaBelle, who portrays Sammy Fableman, a fictionalized version of Spielberg, wasn't nominated for an Oscar himself.
Mm. All right, Mac, what is your prediction and preference in this category?
Well, I think the Daniels have it pretty much sewed up at this point. I think, you know, it's just going to be a smooth, you know, sweep for them in terms of directing plaudits. And, you know, rightfully so, they took this original idea and just made a really unique, beautiful movie that has just taken the zeitgeist by storm. And it's been very much on people's minds and in the forefront of the conversation for almost a year now. So I don't think that they're going to really run into the pit stops along the way. I think they're pretty much going to take it. And it would be the first time that a directing duo has won the Academy Award for Best Director. So I think, you know, setting that sort of history, I can't help but think that would be a motivating factor for certain people to vote for him. And plus, they made a truly breathtakingly inventive, original movie that people are, you know, talking about in glowing ways, and, you know, and it's mm-hmm. it's deserved. But now, who I would personally vote for, I had to agree with Jeff. It would be Steven Spielberg for The Fablemans. He took his life story, and put it into cinematic terms. You know, the screenplay is fantastic. His direction is stupendous as we have come to expect from him. But he found interesting reserves that we haven't seen from him in a while in this movie. And the performances across the board, particularly Michelle Williams, you know, is breathtaking. Judd Hirsch, look at what he did with a fraction of screen time, and he managed to get a supporting actor nomination, the first of his career. Oh, no, actually, no, he was nominated for, he was nominated for Ordinary People, but that was his only previous nomination. And here he is, you know, a little over 41 years later, getting his second nod. And it's about the power of imagination. It's about the pull of cinema. It's about some guy who became one of the most celebrated filmmakers in the history of the world. Really, it's his love letter to a cinema, and you know it's a pretty irresistible combination. So that's who, if I was a voting member of the Academy, as much as I loved EEAAO, I would have to cast my vote for Steven Spielberg for The Fablemans for director and picture.
All right, so I do have some questions mm-hmm. to add at the end, if you don't mind. So out of the categories above, did you have any different pictures that you think should have been nominated or different actors that should have been nominated that weren't? I'll start with you, Jeff.
Well, actually, I wanted to touch on the directing category for a moment. Talking is nominated for Best Picture, but its director, Sarah Polley, was shut out of the Best Director category. And often you need director and Best Picture to go in tandem to win. I think she should have been nominated for Women Talking. It's a really important film about women in a Mennonite colony who have been raped and tortured by men as well as drugged. And the men are on trial, and they're not with the women at the start of the picture. And they've got the decision to stay where they are, stay and fight, or flee. And it's a really terrific story. And Sarah Polley has a nomination for the adapted screenplay, and I think that she should have been nominated for Best Director as well. But it's all men that have been nominated, like usual.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what about you, Mac?
Oh, you mean about Best Picture or just like anything in general?
Or just any of the categories that you think that any of the movies or actors were left out that you would have liked to see,
yes. I would have loved to have seen Till be recognized in some way, either for Danielle Deadwyler's sensational performances, maybe Till Mobley, or Chinoe Chukwu's script or her direction in the film itself for a Best Picture, that would have been tremendous, because I think what happened there was a lot of people in the Academy didn't even bother to watch it because they were expecting one thing and it's something completely different, and ultimately that's their loss. I would have loved to have seen Viola Davis be in contention for the Woman King, either for her performance or as a nominee for Best Picture, because she was one of the producers on that film along with her husband and I think three or four other people. That would have been tremendous had she gotten traction in either category. I would have also loved to have seen a better showing for Tar. I think Nina Hoff would have been a strong supporting actress nominee, because I think her performance in Cate Blanchett's are kind of in tandem in that movie, so it would have been great to see her get some recognition. And if we have time, I would love to touch base on the Best Actress category in connection to Andrea Riseborough's nomination for To Leslie.
We do have time.
Oh, great. The thing I want to say about that is I know Jeff, he touched base on this earlier when we were speaking about the Best Actress category. People have made mention of her surprise nomination for that particular film, a little scene movie, kind of came out of nowhere based on a social media a push by a fellow actors, some of whom he mentioned. Francis Fisher was also kind of instrumental in that, along with screenings at different venues by people like Jennifer Aniston. So she had a lot of push and a lot of influential voices, helping to facilitate that nomination. But what I haven't really heard anybody talk about is that this is hardly the first time this sort of surprise nomination has happened. There are two instances that instantly come to mind. Back in 1987 to 1988, Sally Kirkland had a kind of self-done campaign where she was lobbying to be nominated for Best Actress for this little no-budget movie that she made called Anna. And she ended up winning the Golden Globe at the time, which was really one of the few precursors to the Academy Awards at that time. And then she ended up landing an Oscar nomination for Best Actress. Cher ended up winning that year for Moonstruck. But a lot of actors at that time, like Robert De Niro, Marlon Brando, Al Pacino, and on and on, some heavy hitters, previous Oscar nominees and Oscar winners themselves, threw a lot of support and weight behind her, and they managed to, help her get that Golden Globe recognition, that nomination, and then that eventual win for Best Actress in a Motion Picture Drama. And then they kind of, carried her into the Academy Awards as a Best Actress nominee, because the studio that acquired that film, it was a no-budget film that was acquired by a small boutique production company that released it, they didn't have the money to mount a proper campaign. So she, hit the ground running and reached out to people that she knew and people who were fans of her work, and they made it happen. And then 3 years later, in 1990 into 1991, Diane Ladd, Laura Dern's mother, she mounted a campaign for herself for Best Supporting Actress for the David Lynch movie Wild at Heart. And the rub of that was the studio behind that particular film had the budget to push her for awards consideration. It chose not to. One of the biggest mind-bending, what were they thinking decisions of all time, because she was fantastic in that very odd indie movie. And they should have pushed her, because, she proved that she had the golden touch and managed to land herself a surprise Oscar nomination with the help of a influential Hollywood pals of hers. Again, Robert De Niro into the mix, and I know there were some other actors as well, but they elude me at the moment. But there were a lot of heavy hitters at that time, including De Niro, who said, "Yeah, give this movie a shot. Look at it and see this phenomenal work that Diane does in the film." And so Andrea Riseborough's nomination for this particular film you know, it benefited from a very similar push. But the only difference between her push and the push that Sally Kirkland and Diane Ladd after her did was they didn't have the social media component. It was all, you know, hitting the streets, word of mouth, getting their film seen, you know, completely without the aid or assistance of social media. So that's the only difference in this. It's this social media played a huge role in it, whereas, you know, 33 and 36 years ago, it was literally word of mouth and them, you know, hitting the award circuit and talking up their work and talking up their films.
Do you have anything to add about that, Jeff?
No, those were good points. I didn't have anything more to add. We've touched on a lot.
Okay, so are there any other categories that either of you want to predict a winner for that we didn't cover?
Oh, what about the screenplay categories?
Yeah. I don't have the list, so you'll have to.
Okay. Oh, I will have that for you in 1 second.
Look at how great you are.
Oh, I actually have it in front of me. The original screenplay, The Banshees of Inisherin, Everything, Everywhere, All at Once, The Fablemans, Tar, and Triangle of Sadness.
Oh, what do you think is going to win?
I'm definitely for The Fablemans.
Yes.
Steven Spielberg's screenplay, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I would concur. But definitely, I think that, you know, the film of the moment, Everything, Everywhere, All at Once, is the one to watch. But I think The Fablemans could be a surprise win, because that might be the only category where that film could conceivably get some recognition this year.
Right, and that would be a shame.
Mm-hmm.
It's a terrific film.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that I feel like this next question, is there a sure thing bet for an Oscar this year? Probably goes to Everything, Everywhere, All at Once. I don't know if you guys agree, but I feel like that's probably the right answer to that.
Oh, you mean for any category or Best Picture?
For
I think she meant the original screenplay.
Hmm? Oh, no, what Nikki was meaning, but... You mean for Best Picture,
right,
or
no,
for
I
another category?
Saying for, yeah, the sure thing bet for an Oscar this year for, like, just every category they're in.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Oh, yeah, that's
sorry,
right.
Yeah. Yes,
no,
I think,
understand.
Yeah, I think Ki-Hoo Kwan, I think, is pretty much a lock for supporting act. I think that's the only category where you can pretty much say, oh, yeah, I know exactly, you know, how that's going to go. And I believe that he's pretty much the one sure thing, and you know, particularly that for that film.
Sure. What about you, Jeff?
Yeah, I definitely agree that Ki-Hwae Kwan is a sure thing for his nomination.
All right. Well, do you have anything else to add, Mac, before we wrap everything up?
Oh, well, I'm excited about the 95th Academy Awards. You know, I've been watching them every year since 1989. So, you know, it's one of those things I look forward to every single year. In recent years, I've participated in this Oscar prediction show for Movie Addict Headquarters, which has been a thrill every single time I've gotten a chance to do it. You know, it's always a good excuse to be able to watch films from the previous year that you didn't quite get a chance to see, you know, in order to prep for this. And I just want to, you know, extend my thanks and heartfelt gratitude to Betty Jo Tucker for always being so great and gracious and so inviting and so welcoming, and to you as well as Nikki, you know, for just being, you know, just cool people. And Jeff, you know, thank you so much for, you know, being a great co-guest on these shows. And I certainly look forward to doing it again. And, you know, go films, go Oscars.
All right. Thank you so much. And, Jeff, do you have anything else to add?
Yes, I just wanted to thank Betty Jo Tucker again for the opportunity. It's she's been a wonderful mentor to me for the past 18 years, and I'm a film critic because of her. Everything that I've been able to achieve when it goes towards film criticism has been because of her involvement in my career. And I'm also looking forward to seeing the Oscar telecast next Sunday, just to see if there is a spoiler for Best Picture, and if The Fabelmans or something else might be able to take Best Picture away from Everything, Everywhere, All at Once.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll watch it next week. And I would just like to add my own love and thankfulness to Betty Jo. I have been doing this show with her for so many years, and we have had so many wonderful guests, including the two of you, and it has just been my joy to be on the show with her and with both of you. So I just want to say thank you very much for being terrific guests today. And remember,
no,
the Oscars will be given out.
Thank you.
Yeah, the Oscars will be given out Sunday, March 12th, 2023. And I'd like to give a big thanks to the folks at Blog Talk Radio for their support as well, and to all of our listeners, and to Nancy Lombardo and Angela Drake Perry for supporting our show on their own radio shows. Nancy's a hilarious host of What's the Buzz right here on Blog Talk Radio every Monday and Friday morning at 10:30 Eastern Standard Time, and Angela is the host over at 502 Fallen Angel Radio. And remember, the Oscars will be given out on Sunday, March 12th. Thank you for everything, and I hope everybody tunes in. And remember, movies are forever.